Órale, pues, Raza, welcome to Chicano Highlights. I am your host, The Beto Man, and we have a very special guest here today, Miss Rangel. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I feel wonderful. It's another beautiful day of life.
All right. And we're going to start off with your parents. ¿De dónde son tus padres?
Mi papá nació en Houston, actually in the countryside in Wharton County. Originally, their family came from Guanajuato. And they migrated as farm workers, and so he was born there out in the country, and then he ended up here in the East LA area. My mother was born in Mazatlan, somewhere out in the countryside as well, and she migrated down, up north to the East LA area as well.
All right, and what were their names?
My father's name was Felipe Ramos Rangel. And my mother's name was Paula Pimienta Rangel.
All right. And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have two sisters that were older than me. One of them is still with us. She's the eldest, Olivia. The second one, Gloria, she's passed on in 2006. Rest in peace, sister. And then I have a wonderful brother, Felipe, who is still with us.
All right, good. All right. And where did you go to school? Elementary.
I was raised in Santa Fe Springs, Los Nietos, West Whittier area. So the elementary school I attended was called Rancho Santa Gertrudis or Santa Gertrudis. Mm-hmm. And from there, we moved to the other side of the tracks, to Los Nietos, and continued at Nelson Elementary, Los Nietos Intermediate, and then finally Pioneer High School.
All right. Now, más o menos, tell me when you graduated. And you don't have to tell me your age, but más o menos, when did you graduate?
Well, I am ageless. Órale. Don't you forget it. From high school or from college?
From high school.
From life. Oh, from high school, the year I graduated?
Well, más o menos.
I graduated?
Yeah.
In 1972.
All right. Now, tell me about your experience in the 60s then, growing up as a teenager, and that environment, and how was it for Chicanos? What did you see? What were some of the, you know, events in your life?
Well, in the 60s, I was known as a jetter. I used to hang out with all the older sisters and friends, and so I was the little squinkle that hung out, and they couldn't go unless they took me. So some of the parties they would go to, I would just sit in the back and watch, or I would just be in the corner dancing. And one of the wonderful events I was allowed to go to was the East LA rock and roll shows, mm-hmm. the Battle of the Bands. That really left an impression on me. Very exciting, wonderful to see all these awesome bands that from basically homegrown East LA area and some of the surrounding cities. And Motown was a big deal for me from, you know, on radio, listening to radio. It was an exciting time during those days. I was, you know, very young and didn't understand certain things that were going on. However, being that young, I was still being introduced to certain types of experiences regarding our people, the culture, certain issues that were going on that were both negative and positive.
And when did you become aware, más o menos?
When the seed was planted where I said, wow, there's so many things I don't understand and I want answers to, and there's a lot of lies going on here and I want to know what's up. So I would say right around the early 70s, mm-hmm. I was in high school and started taking college classes, and someone highly recommended a class called The History of Minority Groups in America, and that just opened up a can of worms for me, because I'm a person who's always wanting to know knowledge, what's going on. And in that time, one of the neighbors from Los Nietos, he has family roots in the Chiricahua Nation, and there was this pilgrimage, spiritual caravan that was taking place throughout the Americas. It started somewhere in Alaska and was supposed to end up somewhere in South America, and it was a prophecy from one of the tribes. So my neighbor said, hey, I'm going to Arizona. We're going to go to the Hopi Nation. The spiritual caravan is going to camp there for the weekend. Would you like to join? And I said, absolutely. So my sister and I jumped in his lowrider, and we cruised all the way up to the Hopi Nation. It's changed my life totally. I got exposed to many tribes, and they all spoke their stories of creation or talked about their tradition, culture, the difficulties that are present in their community. And there were some students that were from a college, junior college level called DQU in Davis, California area. And it was such an impression. I came back, it was a weekend event, and my sister said, I'm staying here. Tell mom and dad that I ended up doing this event, you know, whatever story I told them, I don't remember. So she was gone for like 2 weeks. She came back and she begged my parents to let her go to the school, and they said, you're not going alone. And I said, vote for me, take me. And she said, okay, what if I take Irma? And they said, okay. So we headed up to DQU, and it just kept getting more questions deeper about my indigenous roots, my reality of Chicanismo, you know, my native roots, Mexicano roots. There I met people that were either activist types involved in different types of movement, AIM people, farm workers in the, you know, the United Farm Workers Movement, the artistas from the RCAF, the Real Chicano Air Force, teatro people. So it just opened me up wide. I started dancing Danza Azteca all at the young age of 18. So just it just hit me. Well, it didn't even hit me. It actually just lifted me, you know, to so many other levels. And I just took off with all this beautiful stuff. And in the mix, I started off as an actress and then a dancer doing the folklorico de Azteca. And then I really had that secret desire to be a singer, which that seed was planted when I was a little girl. But I was still kind of shy with it. And I had a dance teacher who knew that I wanted to sing. And on one event when we were doing a dance presentation, we were taking a break during the intermission, and there was a band playing, and the band got back on stage. And they said, okay, ladies and gentlemen, ahora tenemos unas personas muy especiales que van a cantar para ustedes. And they said, la primera persona es, and they said, my name, Irma Rangel. And I looked across the table at my dance teacher, and she says, you want to be a performer? Prove it. And the people are clapping. Nobody knows who I am. Uh-huh. And she's all, órale. You know, so I get up on the stage, and I only knew one song in Spanish, which was, of course, Sabor a mí. Mm-hmm. I had no clue what I was doing, what key, nothing. So the guitar player says, ¿qué va a cantar? And le dije, Sabor a mí. ¿Qué tono? I said, yo no sé. And then he said, okay, a ver, canta un poco. So I sang a little bit. He heard it. He goes, okay, muchachos en el tono de do. They picked the key of C, which is a little low for me, but it was, I didn't know any better. So he goes, okay, vámonos. And I said, espérame, ¿cuándo voy a empezar? I didn't even know when to start singing. He says, cuando hago así con la guitarra. And he made the movement when he goes down with the guitar, start singing. So he did. I sang the song. My knees were knocking. My lips were quivering. But I got through it. They clapped. I went and sat down at the table I was at. I looked at my teacher like, you know, you didn't, or how could you? And she says, welcome to the world of entertainment.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. And the rest is history, but my story is long.
All right. So let's return just a little bit to, of course, your high school. So you graduated high school and you went into university?
I graduated high school. Went straight to DQU. I have the AA degree from there. And then as a backup, I went to Sacramento City College and got the other AA in case they didn't want to recognize the DQU.
Okay, so what was your major in?
At that time, it was just DQU. It was really general studies so that I could take those credits somewhere else. However, my focus at the time, because it was all so new to me, were Native American studies regarding, like, spiritual aspects, like learning about the sweat lodge ceremonies and how all that was conducted, and you know, the symbolism and the importance behind that, and also the different types of danza, folklorico and Aztec, and the history behind that. We got into some gardening regarding, like, at the time I really wasn't aware of it, but it was organic gardening. Teatro, learning the basics of acting. It was basically, I fashioned it without realizing it, all really towards the performing arts.
Okay. So now let me ask you, what year to what year were you at DQ?
I got to DQ in around 1972 fall, and I left there probably in 74.
Okay. Now, DQ stands for what?
The Gadahuida Quetzalcoatl University.
Okay. And this school is no longer around, ¿verdad?
No, it isn't, but I understand that they're in the working process of getting it back on its feet.
Mm-hmm. Where was this school located?
It's probably driving time, maybe 20 to 25 minutes west of Davis, California. So it's in between Davis and Winters, out in a field which used to be an old Army communication base, 648 acres that was left abandoned. And in the early 70s, a Native American and the Chicano students from Davis, they took it over. And then other people came from the community. And the government basically said, okay, you can have it. You have so many years to develop it into this cultural center / college that you wish to create. And so the last I heard is that they are working again on bringing it back to its feet.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. So then, so after you went and you got your second, I guess it would be your second AA, ¿verdad? What was that major in?
Same thing. Just basics, just whatever I needed to get through to get to the next level.
Okay. And what was the next level?
I have a degree in ethnic studies, Chicano focus, art minor from Sacramento State.
Oh, congratulations. Cool. All
Thank
right.
Thank you.
All right. And then, so now let's get into the music just a little bit. Now, you go by your nickname?
My nickname is Cuicui.
Now, what does that mean?
It's a name that came to my father when I was a little girl before I even started school. And I was his Cuicui this and his Cuicui that and his Cuicuiti. So when I was serious about being a performer and I wanted to identify with a stage name, because the name Irma, it doesn't translate. Most people will turn it into Irma. Mm-hmm. And I'm not an Irma, but it's okay if you want to call me that. But I really don't identify with it. So I said, I got to find something. So I thought of this and that and this. And I said, why don't you just call yourself Cuicui? Mm-hmm. Your father used to call you Cuicui. So I was Irma La Cuicui Rangel for a while.
Right.
And then I wanted to evolve. So I dropped the La and I was just Cuicui Rangel. And then I went to my father and I said, why did you call me Cuicui? Where did that come from? He said it's just a name that came to his mind and something that he had heard just in his lifetime. Mm. So being the person I am, I did a little research regarding our roots, indigenous roots, and I found out that in Nahuatl, the second largest language spoken in Mexico, or the original language, the name Cuicani means singer.
Mm.
So then I said, okay, that's it. You can call me Cuicui, but my next phase in life is Cuicani.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right. So now, after you graduated Sacramento State, did you get married? Did you have kids?
No, I married the music.
Yes. No, actually, the music marries you, carnalita.
Yes. It revolved around that, and I wanted to, in Sacra. Let's see, I was like back and forth from the north to the south. I'd come back to L.A. and I would get inspired by all the musician buddies that I had the wonderful pleasure of knowing and being inspired by. And then I went up north, inspired by the artistas. And we met some people from Sacra, my sister and I, who was also a vocalist, just in the beginning stages. And they said, hey, we're putting a band together. And my sister says, well, we're singers. And I said, okay, well, we need singers. So 2 weeks later, we were rehearsing with these guys. The next thing we know that we come back to LA, we grab our bags, we go back up north, and we hook up with other people. And then we are a band called, we started calling ourselves, no, we really didn't have a name. So, but we were doing gigs for the farm workers, for the community, for the artistas. And finally said, well, you know, we got to have a name. People are asking, who are we? So then we said, okay, let's do this. Let's go to the local paper and let's say, look, people, we are a band with no name. Can you please give us a name and we will play for you for free? So we took a picture of ourselves and we said, this is the band with no name. Who would like to give them a name? Nobody stepped forward. So we said, you know what? We've been doing gigs for the farm workers. Let's just be the farm workers band. So we were the farm workers band for a while. And then we started to expand. I said, you know what? We've been doing a lot of work for the artists in the community. Let's be the RCAF band, the Royal Chicano Air Force band. We were doing lots of gigs for them, so we were the RCAF band. Finally, the main leader, Federico Rodriguez, also known as Freddy, rest in peace, he said, you know what? I've been doing so much, you know, time and energy. He says, let's just call it Freddy's band because, you know, I'm doing so much. And we said, we're cool. Okay, Freddy's band. So we were Freddy's band. And, you know, we would do the gigs for Cesar Chavez, the march. We did a birthday party for him. We were buddies with Esta Dolores Huerta. We didn't know, you know, how powerful these people were. I was just 19, 20. So we met a lot of wonderful people back in the day. Jose Montoya was one of my professors at Sacra. Esteban Villa, Ricardo Favela, just all these awesome artists. Armando Cid. It just goes on and on. So anyway, I would ping pong back and forth from the north to the south. Well, I got to a point in the north where we were very popular, and you know, I thought I had it all together, and I knew all that as the vocalist, which I knew nothing. But I just had this energía, and I wanted to love being on stage and making people happy. Every time I'd come back to LA, it was like my little reality check, and I would watch my friends perform, and I would say, you know what? I'm not even at their level. I'm going to come back to LA and take classes and develop and get better at what I'm doing because I really love this. So I did. I moved back to LA and I stayed down here, and the story continues.
All right. Now tell me a little bit about your search for spirituality and what does that mean to you?
Well, I'm one of those human beings that is very open-minded. The closest I can get is I'm non-denominational. Yes, I was raised in the Catholic Church. From the Catholic Church, I went into the Church of Psychedelics. And after the psychedelic phase, a flower child phase, which opened my mind a little more, then I got into Christianity. I was born, reborn a couple of times. And all of this was really a beautiful experience. And I would cross paths with different people of different persuasions within the Christian persuasion. And then I learned more about the Native American spirituality and people who were Buddhists. So I just said, you know what? It's all good. Todo vale. And I'm embracing everything in the name of love and light. And I continue my journey this way. As long as my purpose is to help heal the world through my music, through my beautiful good energy that channels through me, through the universe and God, and all the wonderful divine beings that exist, including the wonderful Master Jesus Christ and all the wonderful beings, I'm good.
So give me a definition of spirituality, más o menos.
Balance, keeping in harmony with the world and your surroundings, acknowledging our oneness with life and the universe, creating a better way for all people, unity, understanding, communication, happiness, health, brotherhood, sisterhood. just really a balance between life and humanity and respecting one another.
All right. Now, tell me about Danza Azteca. Why is this important?
Danza Azteca, at one point in time, and actually it continues to be, it's prayer in motion. It's gratitude. It's acknowledgement for the natural forces that exist that give us our sustenance. For example, the wind. We cannot live without the wind. So there's a dance, a few dances that are dedicated to the spirit. I call it spirit or muse, not so much God. I think they use the word God lightly. And to me, it's more of an energy. So the energy or the essence of the wind, there's particular dance steps that were created at one point in time, who knows how long ago, hundreds of years, could be thousands, I really don't know. There's another dance that is acknowledging the earth, Mother Earth. There's another dance acknowledging the waters and the rain. And it goes like this, you know, there's another dance acknowledging the creator, the eagle dance, the symbol of the creator. Other dances that recognize the spirit of the drum. Just the important elements, aspects in life that have inspired us or nurtured us along the way as human beings.
Right. And I want to just clarify real quickly. Western European religion, and I'm not blaming anybody here, but they came over to the Americas and they basically said everything is devil worship. And anything relating to spirituality was deemed a god. So if a Native American was sitting in front of a tree and he was praying in front of the tree, well, he was praying to the tree god, which was very untrue and demonstrative because they were praying to the life of the tree. They were giving thanks to the tree. They were giving thanks to the tree for giving apples, for giving life, for giving a home to the birds. And thank you, and I need some branches in order to light a fire tonight, and giving respect to the energy of the tree. So when we talk about energies, you're absolutely correct. Everything is about energies and not about a god per se, ¿verdad?
Exactly. I agree. I am in agreement with you. That's how I believe and I feel. We can't live without these wonderful elements that exist. And in this fast-paced technological world we live in, people forget about that. We can go one day without water for 24 hours. What's going to happen? One day without sunlight. One day, you know, these elements are so important. We're all related. And in many Native cultures, we say, for all my relations, instead of saying amen, you can say all of the above. Another word they say, or another way they address, is for all my relations.
Correct. And that is being inclusive. That is about community. That is about communal and not communist. Now, if we look into communist ideology, Karl Marx came over, looked at the indigenous people in the 1800s and said, I'm creating a new ideology. It's called communism. Well, that's understandable, but that's from a white perspective, not really understanding 50,000 years of how indigenous people communicated, traded, and understood each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so then, looking at cultura, why is cultura, is it important to understand who you are?
Absolutely. Those are our roots. It's like the tree. You have those roots. If there were no roots there, how could that tree stand tall or strong? And I sincerely believe that all people who have a culture, a tradition, customs, that we need to evolve and to continue to create them in a better fashion. Because it's true, there are some traditions or cultural aspects that we have that might not be so healthy, if you will, in this day and age. And I'll give you an example. The flour tortilla. The flour tortilla, if you look at the ingredients of what it's made out of, there's no nutritional value in it. You know, the corn is different, as long as it's not GMO.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, that's an example. So, for me, when I look at the big picture, you know, of course, people can decide what they wish. I might have a flour tortilla, who knows, maybe once a month, maybe every 2 or 3 months, because I'm very particular about what I choose to indulge or to put into my body. You know, I do like an 80-20. 80% of the best quality of food that I intake, and 20 whatever me da la gana, I will indulge.
And so, cultura, so do you recommend that people should kind of seek who they are?
Yes, I do. I believe that we are all put into this world and from different parts of the world, and we bring beauty, we bring what we have. So instead of making it all one generic, like one, everything's just the same, it's bland. It's like just the color gray, if you will. I'm into rainbow. I'm into color. I'm into, let's all bring forth the wonderful aspects that we have that can enrich our lives and empower us as human beings in this planet.
All right. And what would you tell young girls? I know there's a, you know, I mean, basically right now there's a big energy shift. You know, females are becoming very masculine. Males are becoming very feminine. It's more negativity than anything. And what I mean by that is that women are getting as drunk as men. And being drunk and being high is not the greatest answer.
No, it's not the greatest answer. My feeling is that we need to start from the inside and do the work from the inside out. The healing needs to come from the inside. There's a lot of issues that are collected on the journey along the way, and awareness and education are the most important parts to help us to learn along the way. And unfortunately, people get stuck on their wounds or their pain and find other ways to either erase or forget or deny. And my thought on all that is that we do need to give ourselves the opportunity to learn to love ourselves and find whatever we need to empower and to open up so that we're not stuck and we keep moving forward. Adelante, siempre. Tenemos que seguir adelante.
All right. I think that's going to do it for us. Is there a Facebook, a phone number somewhere, if someone wants to talk to you, that they can get a hold of you?
I do have a website called cuicanisvibe.com, and that's cuicanisvibe.com. It's all one word. You can always send me a message there. That would probably be the easiest way, because it'll come directly to me one way or another through my email. I do have a Facebook, but the Facebook that I have, it's sort of like when I want to announce something or share some kind of special thought or meditation to people. And I'm getting back on my feet. I was in a surgery. I donated a kidney to my sister in June. So I'm recovering. I'm coming out of recovery now and getting back on my feet as the vocalist, performer, songwriter, vocal coach that I am. And so right now I'm in the process of reinventing my dream.
All right. And now there is also a CD available, ¿verdad?
Yes, this is called Back to Me. It's on the Latino Rampart record label. It's also, you can hear glimpses of it on the cuicanisvibe.com. And there, if somebody, you know, I have CDs.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anybody wants a hard copy of a CD, send me a message to my cuicanisvibe.com and I'll hook it up.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. Thank you for coming in. You'll come back again, ¿verdad?
Absolutely.
Órale, pues. That's going to do it for us, Raza. We want to thank you for tuning in. We will see you hasta la próxima. Also, remember to tune in every Friday night from 5:30 in the afternoon to 7 a.m. in the morning with KUCR 88.3 FM, broadcasting simultaneously on KUCR.org, podcasting on eastlareview.com, and ChicanoTexMex.com. Ahí te guacho.